Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome everyone to Rock That Relationship. We are talking all about soulmates this season and soul connections and messages from the other side, all of these kinds of topics that are really intriguing both to Tracy and I, which is why we continue to talk about them on the show. But we are so thrilled today to actually be talking with Sandy Wesson, who is a channeler, a medium. She's going to talk a lot about being an intuitive psychic and all the work that she's been doing kind of in this space and how, you know, she shows up here. We're going to have a great conversation today about messages from the other side. So thank you, Sandy, for being here. And we're just so thrilled to have you.
Thank you, Corey and Tracy, for the invitation to join. You know, it's always fun to get to meet new people and have these discussions. So I appreciate it.
Well, awesome.
We appreciate you.
Yes. Being here. Yeah. It's, you know, if I tried to have Tracy channel something for me, she wouldn't have any clue what to do. So I'm so glad you're here, Sandy. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background, how you got interested in the work you do. Just sort of take us through like who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
So I have been a registered nurse for 45 years. I've not done clinical nursing, you know, I'm not doing that now, but I have worked in the intensive care unit. I've worked in end of life and hospice and palliative care. I've worked in a variety of areas of nursing and healthcare. But it's been interesting about where I got started in this is I think sometimes we all have a soul purpose. Sometimes that is laid out for us a little bit differently than others. When I was in my 20s and I was working as an ICU nurse, I knew I was sitting with a friend talking. We were just kind of talking about our lives. And, you know, as 20 somethings, you know, we're like trying to figure stuff out. And she said, "I just know that I'm here to be happy," my friend said. And I thought, wow, good for you. And I said, "It's interesting. I know that I'm here to help a lot of people. And it's more than just being a nurse. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what this means, but I just know that I'm here to do something more and help a lot of people." So then in my about 33 years ago, so in my 30s, giving my age away since I'm, you know, been a nurse for 45 years.
I've been doing the math. I've been sitting here doing the math.
But in my 30s, I started experiencing, I would have nights where, well, first of all, energy started flowing spontaneously from my hands. Mm. Like, okay.
Wow.
You know.
Like, right. Could you see it or you just felt it?
I could feel it. I mean, I could feel it. And if I, you know, went to help somebody and, you know, was putting my hands near them, then they would feel that vibration. And
wow.
You know, so basically people who are trained in Reiki or trained in energy types of healing, mine just happened spontaneously. Did I go back then and go to some other courses and, you know, to hone that in more? Yes. But so that was, you know, I started having energy flowing. And then this next year was really bizarre. Then at night, I would start vibrating.
Oh, wow.
Laying in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to sleep. And my body is just vibrating all over.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, this is just internal. And somehow I knew I was okay. I knew it was safe. And mm-hmm. At some level, I knew it was spiritual. I just knew it. And so I would lay in bed and vibrate all night. And this went on for months. And I thought I was just vibrating internally. One night, my husband says, "Stop shaking the bed."
Wow.
I'm like, oh, shit. It's not just that I'm shaking the whole bed. So what I didn't understand then, and I mean, I was seeking help. I joined a healing circle thinking, okay, these are like real healers and they work on each other and they work on other people and they're going to know what I'm going through. So I joined the healing circle and I'm talking to them and asking them like, well, we don't know. We've never experienced anything like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it wasn't until years later, someone said, oh, you just had a very rapid ascension process. You know, most people, it's little bits and it's over many years. You were like, bam, here it is. So that happened. And then after I kind of got through that process, then I would sit in meditation and the divine started coming in and teaching me. So ascended masters, Jesus, Maitreya, ascended master Dwakul, who comes from more of the Buddhist tradition, but all these different ones. And it would just be a week at a time. I would sit for a week and they would come in and they were teaching me how to hold their vibration. So I would it would be with Jesus for a week. And every time I'd meditate, he'd come in and I would have to acclimate to his vibration. And what they were telling me was, this is so as I'm doing energy healing, they can come through me and assist working on that person if that's appropriate. It's like, okay.
Wow.
And as part of the healing circle, it was great because I was able to then work with that. You know, I was able to keep practicing that and working on people and being an allowance, learning how to protect my energy. So it was, you know, only those of the divine, you know, able to come through. And so it was, it's all been a journey. And during that time, of course, I started being able to hear. You know, because I already was feeling, I mean, I was clairsentient, I was feeling all this stuff. And I'm an empath, so I feel everybody's stuff. But then learning to hear and channel, and I wanted to make sure that I was hearing as clearly as possible. So I, you know, again, did more training on that, went through this listening program, and, you know, just to really fine tune my hearing. So it's been a journey that has it's just been an interesting journey. So I've worked as a nurse through, you know, until the last few years, and most of the time, I mean, I wasn't really talking about this. And when I was working ICU and I was working other periods in my life, I didn't really try to utilize this. I mean, sometimes it would come through, but I was just really trying to focus on, okay, I'm a nurse and I'm working in the ICU and I've got critical patients and I gotta get, you know, so I was trying to stay focused with that. But there was a time when my vibration was rising really quickly where electrically I would, like I blew through, you know, that was way back then. The computers were not what they are now. So, but you know, I had to replace hard drives and I had to replace on my home computers.
Oh my
you know,
goodness.
At the point I put my foot on the electrical cord and I could feel the electricity running through the cord. And I'm like, okay, this is really bizarre. Until eventually my body acclimated to everything that was going on. So it just takes time, which is why most people go through this more slowly, because the human form has to acclimate to the experience. So anyway, so that's kind of what all of that was. And then, oh gosh. So, you know, so I've said, you know, I can hear, so I'm clairaudient, clairvoyant. Sometimes I just know. I'll just understand things. I'll just know things all the time, but sometimes. And then so clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, I feel. So in time, I moved over. I mean, I live in Central Oregon. So I moved here probably, it was 14 years ago. And it's interesting because moving over here, I thought I was going to be working in palliative care, but life had its own plan. And so that's what I was doing, hospice and palliative care before I moved. But it turned out not to be so because I had three family members pass away within 6 months, and I was involved in caring for each of them. And the third one was my husband, which I'll talk about later. But so going through all of that, it was just like, okay, I need a year of downtime. I need to just, I've just come through this big move. And I've gone through the rest. So I just need time. So anyway, I ended up not continuing in nursing for that period of time. I went back to school, learned nutritional therapy, and so that I could really help people in a different way with their health. And then studied cellular detoxification. And then I was guided to do neurofeedback. And each one of these were guided. It's like, sure why or how this is going to help, but it's not until the end of going through all three of those that it's like, oh, I get it now. First the gut has to work, and because we had to learn all this every detail of, not that you're taught that in nursing or as a doctor. So it's learning all of that, and then okay, the toxins in the body and the brain, okay, I understand that, and then neurofeedback for those head injuries. And so I started a business and worked with that for quite some time, even though I was still doing the other, I was still channeling, and all this other stuff was coming in. But then, again, guided by spirit, it was like, okay, now it's time. There are other people that can help with the clinical. We are at a time now where this is so important for people to heal at all levels. And it's time for you to do this and let go of the clinical. So I've transitioned away from that, and now, working more. Because what was happening, so you asked kind of how this started. So okay, gave you the backstory. But when I was working with people energetically, I keep looking over here because I've got a table. So when I have people on the table and I'm working on them energetically, I very frequently would feel a presence in the room.
Oh, interesting.
And so, I'd say to them, it's like, okay, I'm feeling a presence. This one particular one is a very angry energy. Does that mean anything to you? Do you have any family members who have crossed, who have died, who that maybe there was a difficult relationship with? And it's like, oh yeah, it's either my dad or my brother. And so I then would communicate with that energy, with that person, no longer in body, but in that with that spirit, and identified, yes, it's dad. And then helped her understand, you understand he's no longer angry. He had to put that energy in so I could feel it, so I could talk to you, and then you could understand who it is. So I helped them with their conversation. And that just kept happening over and over and over. And so it just became more and more clear to me how important this work is. And we're at a time when it's just it needs to be. We need to heal. And so in that case, I mean, the healings that I have seen people experience have been so profound when they can talk to their loved ones on the other side. And because if there were situations where, gosh, they had a tumultuous relationship, or maybe the parent left early, maybe, I mean, in terms of divorce or whatever, and that child, as now an adult, has experienced abandonment and still brings abandonment into their next relationship. Or, so that's where a lot of healing, having an opportunity to understand when that parent comes in and says, this is what happened. I want you to understand. I'm really, really sorry. I know I hurt you. I love you. This is what was happening in my life, which made me unable to cope. And so it gives us as adults, I think, a better opportunity to understand what happened. And I think it helps us look at ourselves and how it has continued to affect our lives and gives us a better opportunity to heal from that so that hopefully we don't continue taking our inner child painful issues into relationships. So that's just kind of rambling here. But anyway,
no, I don't think it's rambling. We could go on for hours and hours. And I've had that energy feeling, but much slower and like just weird, like all of a sudden my whole body is like vibrating, you know, and then I'm like, what is happening? I always thought it was, I don't really know too many. I've been around a lot of dead people because I used to be a cop and then I'm an attorney. So I've seen all that and done all that.
You've seen the worst of the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. But I haven't, like, I don't have anybody close to me other than my grandparents, you know, who passed away. And so I never felt like, oh, this is somebody communicating with me. I just felt like it was like an opening to like do more. So we, like Corey and I just finished the book, The Light Between Us by Laura Brown Jackson, I think, a medium, and she's describing all the stuff that you're describing. And so I think, and we've talked to an energy healer, like all of this is so healing for people, but so many people have such a block to it. Like, you know, and they say, oh, I want to have my soulmate, or I want to meet the perfect person. I want my life to be so great, but they're so blocked to, they just can't see this. And it's like, I just was talking to somebody. I'm like, I don't think traditional therapy is going to solve this deeper, deeper pain, right?
Right.
But
yes.
They're not versed in this kind of, I don't know, what would you call it? It's not really existential, but it's like spiritual stuff.
No, it's very true. And if people are blocked, it's part of in trying to help someone understand, we need to look not only, so in our past relationships, how are we hurt in that relationship? What are our wounds from that relationship? And I've learned over time, because again, I'm not religious, but I'm deeply spiritual. And I've learned in, you know, from different teachers, different whatever, you know, but that that we are truly all one. There are aspects of us, okay, so if that person, I have a judgment about that person, then really what is it inside of me that I need to pay attention to? As an example, when I was doing clinical nursing and I was doing hospice care, and I was working per diem. So I would just work, rather than having my own caseload, I would just work, and whoever was assignment was given to me for that day, I would take that. So I didn't really know their patients. And there was one nurse that made me nuts. Because every time I take her case, though, it's like everything seemed so disorganized and I would get so frustrated. And at the end of the day, I would, you know, when I was done on my way home, I'd have to pull over and, you know, stop someplace before I got home with all my, and just kind of look at it and let it all go. And one day it hit me that I was reacting more to her disorganization because I was so concerned people would see me that way. See me as maybe not being organized. I mean, I have a neurological condition called Tourette syndrome. So with that comes ADHD. And so sometimes it's hard for me to be as organized as I want to be. And so it was like, that's really why I'm reacting more to that person. It's that piece of me. So, you know, it's like when I started to understand that and take that even to relationships, personal relationships, I started to recognize, okay, so I'm being shown that, you know, this person, I attract the people whose lessons I need to see. You know, it's like, what do I need to learn? And my soul, we attract those. So as we can address that, so if someone has an issue with lack, they're going to have somebody in their field that is going to help exhibit that to them and help them see that. And in, you know, a really recent relationship that I was in, it was like, I walked away after 5 years thinking, okay, wait a minute, what do I need to learn from this? Number one, I stayed in the relationship too long, and so I had some boundary issues, you know, so it's just, it's really starting to pick that apart, because that relationship is for me to learn as well. I mean, it goes both ways. So anyway, so again, that's just all been part of my learning, and part of that learning comes from working in these situations of helping people heal, of the mediumship, of understanding what it is like on both sides, you know, in this human form, but what it's like for the soul as after we die and we're continuing to learn on the other side, and that part of communication. So it's at first, you know, when I got your invitation, I'm like, okay, how does this, you know, how does this apply to, you know, our finding our soulmate? And it's like, well, of course it does. It all helps us heal. And we need to be healed as much as possible to attract the person we really want in our lives, to attract our soulmate.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that.
Yes, you are. So, Sandy, I do have a question for you, because this is all so fascinating, because as you're getting bodily reactions and you're hearing things, you're feeling things, you know, there's so many different kind of, I don't know, entities or ways in which we get messages. So some people say, like, my spirit guides are giving me guidance. Some people say the universe. Some people say it's a loved one who has passed, or some people say it's intuition, or it's an angel, or like, do we need to differentiate between where these messages are coming from? Are they sort of one and the same, or does it matter? Or, you know,
I think, that's a good question. And I think the biggest thing is, what kind of energies are we open to? So we do need to be aware that there can be disembodied spirits who haven't crossed over. We need to be aware that there are other things. So for me, I had to learn when all this stuff started happening, and, you know, it's like, I had to learn to discern. And as I started understanding the chakras, and my crown chakra would be like wide open, and I had to learn how to control that, how to close my chakra at certain times, how to put energies around me and protect me. Kind of like, you know, it's Easter's coming up. Okay, so it's an egg, you know, the white light, you know, surrounding my body so that I wasn't open. But do we need to discern? So we all have guardian angels. And someone, you know, in another podcast said, well, I have an angel, but I don't know that it's helping me. I was like, well, do you ask? We have free will. We have to ask for help. It's important. So
how do we do that? Do we just speak it out, or speak it?
Sometimes I don't even say it out loud. I mean, you know, I do say things out loud, but sometimes I'll just say, okay, I'm really struggling with this. You know, please help me. Show me. And so one of the things that I will frequently do is like, okay, the whole picture is bigger than what I can grasp right now. Show me my next step. Show me the next step I need to take, or bring the person into my field, into my experience, that will help me to understand what I'm going through, or help me to cope with all of this. And so, I mean, yeah, that's a big one for me. It's like, please help me with, show me my next step. And sometimes you'll get the answer in a dream. That's been common. Like, I'll have a dream, and then I have to kind of sit with it, and it's like, okay, what does that mean exactly? And you know, so we can ask that way. Sometimes, gosh, messages may come to us. Okay, as an example, again, because I feel energy. So I'm gonna use an example of how and different times where I've had experiences come to me. One was, and this wasn't a relationship one. Actually, let me do the relationship one first. I'll talk about my husband. So my husband had a stroke, and it was a big enough stroke that when we got to the ER, they're like, "This is in the location of the brain. He's not going to come through this." Like, okay, I wouldn't want him to come through and suffer. You know, as hard as this is, so after he passed away, well, during the time that he was in the ER. And having worked as an ICU nurse, having worked as a hospice and palliative care nurse, I was very comfortable and familiar with the whole scenario. So we're in the ER waiting for his son to arrive because I was just said, let's just keep him alive long enough that family members can get here and say their goodbyes. So his son had to come from out of area and so I'm in the ER with him at his bedside this whole time. And finally, I reached the point, it's like I went to the restroom, I went to the bathroom. And so I mentioned that I had three people die within 6 months. The first was my mother, and I helped care for her. The next was my sister, which was 2 months later, 3 months later, my sister died. And I'm the ninth of 10, so she was the oldest and had cancer. And so I'd been involved in her care, not only while she was on palliative care, but also hospice. I was traveling and taking care of her so that her son could work. And then I finally reached a point where my husband was going to be having knee replacement surgery. And so I finally said, okay, you know, I need to be able to go home now because you know, my husband's having surgery in a week. So my sister and my sister died shortly after that then. And then 30 days later, my husband died and had this big stroke. So while I'm in the bathroom, finally, away from everything, I'm sitting down, and of course, it's the bathroom that's in the ER. So it's an oversized, equipped for wheelchair to be able to come in. So it's a big space. So I know a little too much information, but I'm sitting on the toilet and I feel my mother's presence. I feel my mother there. Then the towel dispenser, the paper towel dispenser is one of those where it's energetic. Well, I'm sitting here still, not moving, and I'm so far away that it couldn't have felt that anyway. Well, it starts dispensing, and I feel my sister's energy.
And you're like on the toilet. You're like, thanks a lot. You
I'm sitting here going,
couldn't wait until I get up to wash my
okay,
hands.
it was because I was away from my husband, I was away from the ER staff. Probably in the only quiet time I was going to have singularly. And so I felt their presence, which made me teary, which felt supportive.
Like they were there with you through this.
Absolutely.
And when you say presence, did you feel like do you see them as ghosts there in the toilet stall, or you just
In
like do you
that
feel a
circumstance,
familiarity?
I felt the vibration. And I knew vibrationally, because remember, I was with these people taking care of them only, you know, months before. And so I felt the vibration and I knew that, and I might have seen kind of enough of an outline to know that one was mom that was closest to me and then my sister. So anyway, so just an experience of okay, you know, and then so that's one example of when he was going through the phase of dying and the presence of those who came to help. So after he died, you know, I have my brothers helped me make one of those little flyer brochure, whatever you call it, you know, that has the front and then inside has the details of the service and the songs and all that stuff. So I had that in this little, in my house, I've got a little alcove that as you go, like there's a corner area to go into the master bedroom. And so there's a little shelf there. So in that alcove, I had that little brochure, that piece that was made by my brothers. and a few other things. And I just had it sitting there. And it had been there. Now we're approaching the 1 year anniversary. And I remember thinking, I wonder how I'm going to know when it's time to just put all this stuff away. I mean, I could talk to him, but I did talk to him a few times because I didn't communicate, but I didn't try to because I didn't want to hold him to this earthly field. I wanted him to be able to go on and do his soul work. So I, you know, even though like, okay, I know I'm going through, I know I'm experiencing, and yes, I've been grieving, but I wonder when I'm going to know that it's time. This is the day before the 1 year anniversary of his death. And I'm walking by there. And again, there's no airflow in that area. There's no breeze. That piece had been sitting there for a year. Boom. On the floor. It just fell down and hit the floor. Like, okay, that's interesting. I picked it up. I put it back. The next day, boom. Because now it's the 1 year anniversary. It's like, boom, it's on the floor again. It's like, okay. You're telling me it's time. And after that, it's like, okay, then I'm open to a conversation. I'm open to, you know, if you want
conversing to, with him.
Yeah. If you want,
because you knew he's making contact with you.
Right.
So you're not the one tying him here.
Right. And so I did, you know, so then we talked and he says, I've been with you this whole time. And I'm going to step back now. And it will be as if, you know, if I'm moving clear across to the other room. I didn't realize how much he was there supporting me that year. Instead of taking rebirth. I mean, yes, he'd crossed to the other side, but as a soul, as a spirit, he was there supporting me. And then I did feel the difference after he did move further away, his energy moved further away. I felt that, which then of course made me grieve more, but that's okay. Cause that's part of the process. So that was, you know, a relationship one, even though that relationship ended in death, death really isn't the end. You know, it's the end of my experiencing in physical form with that person, but it's not really the end.
Can I ask you a question about that then, with like a grieving or losing a soulmate or something like that? Like, if you know these things, right? So if you're aware of the other side and all of this, does that make your grief less? Like, do you feel, or is it like the loss of the person in the day to day? That's
thing was the loss of the person in the day to day. I mean, I was happy that he was now experiencing, you know, he didn't experience a stroke that was going to, you know, make him bedbound forever. And, you know, so I understood all of that. But there's still deep grief. We were married for 27 and a half years. And so there's still a lot. You know, that first time you go to the grocery store and you want to turn around and go, oh, can't do that. Or you're watching television to a show that you watch on a normal basis together and you want to turn around and say, did you? Oh, no, can't do that.
Right.
You see that? Nope, you're not there. So there's still going to be the grief work that we all have to go through when there's an end of a relationship. So, but yes, I mean, did I understand that he's gone on to more? Yes. And I was grateful for that, but also grieving.
Do you know if like soulmates can meet up with each other or stay together or make any kind of decisions like that? Like, is there, I mean, I have my own personal opinions that I'm going to cling to no matter what, because like, I feel like I can like to affect my destiny that way. But like, do you know, is there like, what's the purpose of a soulmate? Is it, and can we make arrangements to be with that person? You know, like people, Corey calls it my Hollywood version of it, but I'm living it. Like I'm truly living it. And I really feel like I'm going to do whatever I can to hold on to this, like while learning my lessons. It's not like I want to stop right now, but I do have and love that Hollywood version of a soulmate, you know, the forever, so, ever.
There, we have soul families, or some will call them a soul circle, but a soul family. And those soul families, our goal is to support one another. And so whatever the soul needs to learn, whatever my soul needs to learn. So in one lifetime, this person may come in as my spouse and it's a wonderful relationship. And then in other lifetimes, like, okay, now my soul wants to learn da 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 da. And so it might be the same person in a different configuration. Now that person might be my son, or that person might be, you know, and it's going to be perhaps a tumultuous because I need to learn how to deal with whatever that is. So, so we come back in different configurations to help each other. But it's, which is why oftentimes people will say, man, I feel like I know you. You know, it's like, I feel like there's, we've been together before. We probably have.
And but you know, it's interesting because Corey and I met and we didn't, I don't think either one of us had that deep feeling, but people had told us, right? And so we're considered to be jumpers. And this, apparently this lifetime, we came to learn the same lesson and literally our lives are mirroring, but we only met each other 4 years ago. So I'm 55. She's like, what, 52? And so we met each other at a really late stage in life. Mm-hmm. And then now, like, I've told her and I keep saying, and I want to broadcast it. That's why I keep saying on the podcast.
You say it every episode.
I don't want to do any more lifetimes with her. I'm done. Like, I want to be, she can come visit me and my wife on our cloud. And like, you know, I feel like.
So is it that you don't want to do any more lifetimes at all, or you don't want to do any more lifetimes with her?
No, I don't want to do any more lifetimes on this earth.
She can come
and visit. I don't want to come back here.
She doesn't want to come back. And
I'm very empathic. I'm a hardcore vegan. I do animal stuff. Like, I cannot handle the state of the world. It's like too much for me. And my wife is very similar. And I just want us to be done. And like, if I don't want to have to come back and wait 20 years or 30 years or 40 years to meet her, you know? And so Corey and I have supposedly been married in one lifetime, a mother and child in one lifetime. This lifetime, we're learning lessons simultaneously. And it is weird. I always tell her, don't say weird because it's meant to be. But like, we keep learning the lessons and we've met our people that we're going to be with for the rest of our life, literally, what, 2 months apart. So like, it's like, how much of that can we control? Do we have any control? I am going to say it right now. I do not want to come back.
Yeah, not in your earthly form. Your soul has a bigger purpose.
I want to be with my wife forever. On a cloud.
I don't think you could just declare it in your kitchen.
Well, can we be an elephant sanctuary in the
Tracy,
sky?
Maybe yes. That is the lesson that you're here to learn.
That I can't control.
You need to release control because control is an illusion. Or when we release control and we can learn to experience at the higher levels, then maybe this doesn't seem like such a difficult place to be. Now, fairly, in all fairness, right now, life for everybody, the earth is going through huge changes. Humanity is going through huge changes. And so it is challenging. There's no question about it. But for me personally, what I'm recognizing, because I do work with the divine right now, my team that comes in and teaches me and I channel a lot are Jesus, Ascended Master Joelle Kuhl, and Divine Mother, Source. And so for me, I'm recognizing how much, even at my level, I still want to control stuff. I don't like what's going on out there. And having to move to a place of neutrality, having to learn to experience and see it and recognize that it's really difficult and have compassion for all of us that are experiencing this. And not have an attachment to the outcome. That is really what takes us closer to our divine truth, to who we really are. So, and I know this is not relationship stuff, and now I'm really getting off on the woo-woo, but it is what is so important, and it is what's being asked of us right now. Because the more we struggle with this, Earth is trying to change. Humanity is trying to change. So if you've heard of, the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age, we're moving into the Aquarian Age. The Piscean Age was more masculine energy and it was power over. What we're moving into, the Aquarian Age, is more of the feminine energy. So rather than God the Father, God the Mother. And there's both. I mean, it's not one or the other, but energetically. And more of the we. How do we take care of each other? How do we take care of the earth? And that might be, Tracy, more of what you're feeling is this old energy is really uncomfortable, and I don't want to go through that again. And I don't want to have to wait 40 years to find this person that makes me feel complete. But if truly we understand we're here for something more, that in that relationship you are learning, then how do we take that and take that to a place of compassion for everyone? So, as we continue, my understanding is as we continue to grow in spiritually and in our understanding and in compassion, then at some point we don't need to come back.
Well, I'm going to wrap it all up here. So I've got 51 more years to do that. And that's it. I'm going to die at 106. I've already figured that out. But that's the thing is like, so, I mean, because I just wish more people would, I don't know. I'm more open about talking about all this stuff. I feel like than Corey is. Sometimes Corey's like, people are going to think we're whack jobs, but we keep having all of these like experiences that are, I feel like when I met Corey, it was like the time to open that channel. Like I'd always had things, feelings when I was younger about being reincarnated. And I'd lived in Russia when I was in another life and all of these things. Right. But that was like, oh, okay, these were things that I felt when I was younger. And then I went on to living life and I didn't really have a lot of those. I had some kind of knowing experiences, you know, I consider myself sort of a claircognizant, but like, what, like, it took us that long to, Corey was like a portal to opening all this stuff up, right? So now I'm trying to really like dive into it more. And I feel like, yeah, if we could spread this message to people, but you know, they really are skeptical, you know.
Well, and I understand that it's becoming more and more people are opening to it more than in the past. And but it is something where I even for me, I mean, I come from a family that's like this is not talked about and this is not. And I've had to understand that even with my family, I love each and every one of them deeply. But I'm not here to make them comfortable.
That makes sense.
And so it's been hard for me to step out. I tend to be, not an out there person. But I'm recognizing that with what I'm being shown and experiencing of the divine's experiencing through me, that this is my sole purpose. And if I say no to that, then what? Then does that mean I'm going to come back many more times until
You're going to be sitting in Tracy's kitchen. That's what's going to happen.
No, when I recognized that, again, as a nurse, I came in to help people. And so now for me, I'm seeing that helping people is just different than what I did in all my years as a clinical nurse. My helping people now is with this. It's with helping them understand who they are, helping them heal those past life relationships or whatever it is, in whatever it is. Sometimes it's just channeling, someone will be on the table and Divine Mother has a message for them. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. You know, so it's been, we all have to learn to push through our discomfort. And that's not always easy.
Mm-hmm. What, Sandy, what about, like, I know you talk about channeling and you get messages and you kind of can see who's sort of in the room with us. I mean, the everyday person who, you know, I'm pretty empathic and I do get some messages, and mostly through dreams actually. But, but like I have a situation, it's interesting. My mother passed a few years ago and I've been sort of kind of floundering, and I met somebody who felt like, gosh, I know them. I'm supposed to be with them. And all of a sudden there are pennies everywhere. I'm finding pennies. My mom's name was Penny. And actually, a medium that came over to do a reading on my cat and trying to figure out why she was going to the bathroom in the house actually said, your mom keeps coming through. I can't even talk to you about your cat. Your mom said she's going to leave you pennies. And so that was like two years before I started getting all these pennies, and they were everywhere. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily channeling, or I went to someone to get a message from my mom, but I think the significance of leaving pennies around is telling me like I'm on the right path. I feel like that's what she's saying. Is that something like our, like everyday listeners can say, like if they're open to these signs, they can get messages from the other side without necessarily going to a medium? I don't want to distract people from going to use your services, but can right. people do that on their own?
First of all, your mom is here.
My mom is here.
Yeah, she came in and just, because I felt this presence as you started talking about it. And she's like, you know, that she wants you to know how proud she is of you. And yes, she's been giving you pennies. And I just feel this huge heart energy.
Oh.
Your mom has a big heart. She's lots of love.
Well, she's also,
I told
been,
you your mom would come in.
I know. Well, the thing is that my mom, my partner, my new partner that I'm with has also been finding pennies almost at a twice as the rate that I have. And she is like, your mom is here. She's never met my mom. I feel like my mom is dropping us both pennies. I don't.
She is. She's saying she is. And so, again, you're right. They're, when we are open to paying attention to what we may consider to be just coincidences,
mm-hmm.
then after a while, we can start seeing patterns. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, and then we can even ask, hey, mom, is this you? Are you giving me a message? You know, hey, if it's yes, give me a bunch more pennies.
right.
Or, you know, just different ways of asking and interpreting, but we need to ask. And it, mm-hmm. the answers may not come through right away in a way that we understand it. So, you know, again, paying attention to our dreams, or paying attention to, I'm finding pennies everywhere, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever that might be. But yeah, we can ask.
Well, Corey has a very important question to ask her, actually. And like, should she do it like through a medium, or should she just do it like in general, like
in terms of asking those questions?
Yeah, because the way her mom died was very difficult.
I think in that circumstance, it is useful to have mm-hmm. a conversation with somebody that can really bring the message through.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what I find is I can help bring the details or understandings through so that people can heal. Or sometimes, and I know we're short on time, so I don't want to go too long here, but sometimes people, maybe it's been a difficult situation, maybe it's been a suicide. And in those circumstances, the person may not cross over. They may still be on the earth plane. And so I then help people, I talk to them, I help them understand what their concerns are, if there's fears, and then I help them cross over. So there are circumstances where I've that's happened a lot. Mm-hmm. Because people have a misunderstanding or a fear that I'm going to be judged by God. So I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go to hell, or there's all these mm-hmm. other things. And so that's where working with a medium can help not only you, but if there are misunderstandings on the other side, because the other person hasn't crossed over, then that can be helped. That can be cleared up.
So you can tell, like, right when someone's presence there, you can tell whether they've crossed over or not. You can communicate with sort of both spaces.
If I'm not sure in the energy that I feel, I ask them.
Okay.
And
do you,
then,
do you know if my mom has crossed over?
she doesn't want to discuss it here.
Okay.
So that tells me that maybe it's not, yeah, that maybe there's more work to be done.
Yep. Yep. I know exactly why.
So,
yeah. Well, tell her she can keep leaving me pennies. I like that. That makes me feel good and feel loved.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they do. They do try to communicate with us. Some, you know, not all, but many. I mean, I had a situation where a friend died of suicide, and she didn't cross over, and she knew she could communicate with me. So she kept trying to talk to me. I'm told by the divine, don't engage with her. Because then she'll know she has someone to talk to. She won't cross. But it was affecting her grandchildren because they were seeing her, and the young grandchildren were scared.
Yeah.
They kept seeing their grandma. And so finally, you know, in a conversation, I say, look, you know, she goes, I made a mistake. I said, I understand that. It's okay. You know, you're loved. It's okay. But you're scaring the grandkids by staying here. And so it's important for you to go. And then immediately, once she recognized that energetically, boom, I felt her go. I mean, I felt her energy leap and cross over.
Wow.
So it just, there's just different circumstances to when people die.
Everybody, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've helped people who were in mass graves from the apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And they all died so traumatically and so quickly, they were stuck.
Right.
So it just, you know, again, I don't want to get off on that. I know that's really not the point of our conversation, but that there are just pointing out that there are different circumstances, you know, and so it is important to be able to have the conversations, and working with someone such as myself or other mediums can be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get your contact info and put it in the show notes so that we can make sure that our listeners are able to get in touch with you and that I am able to get in touch with you. But I know we've had such a rich conversation, and I hate to bring it to a close. We'll have to consider having you back on again and keep talking about
it.
I
love it.
This subject is a fan favorite. I mean, people are really like clamoring for this type of information and just kind of learning more. And so we'll make sure to, again, like I said, share your information. But for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.